takes it the distance. 99 yards.
James
Bucknight. Back out to Allen. History final.
Thompson loads it up. Scores! Number 5 for Tage Thompson.
Grand slam. George Springer.
Tarasi the pull-up. He's good. And the foul.
Walker down the lane. Drive, shoots.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Huskies and the Pros podcast, the very first one in 2024, as it is January 8th, 2024. I'm actually recording this the night before on Sunday, so January 7th, but being released here on Monday, January 8th, as it is episode 18 overall for the podcast. As always, I'm Brian Dowser, bringing you the latest news and updates with our Huskies, literally, and the Pros. And hope you all had a great holiday. It's been off the last couple of weeks in terms of the podcast. As you probably know, I've still been tweeting quite a bit, giving updates on all the guys are pretty much going to be talking about on today's show. And thank you to everyone, all the listeners, all the followers on the Huskies Pros Twitter page. As right before the new year, we reached 1,000 followers. It's just above that now. So quite the milestone. You know, when I thought about doing this a couple of years ago, I started this Twitter page started in January 2021. So did it in just a little less than 2 years, which is also kind of cool. I remember just being like kind of satisfied that I got to 300. I didn't remember like thinking like a number that was like a certain number that would like make me, I guess, feel like I'm accomplishing something here. But it's really, really cool to be over 1,000. Looking forward to the next 1,000 more followers and beyond. So appreciate all of you for listening, for following along. Hopefully you're learning something. That's the biggest thing with the podcast, with the Twitter page, is really just to inform our Husky fans, really kind of keep these players alive. Because let me tell you, after just covering all these players, after following them so closely at UConn, like all these guys, Hawkins, Andre, you know, Andre Drummond now, like Sonogo, like these players are my daily life still, which is always fun for this time of year. You're listening to this episode on either Buzzsprout or probably Spotify. So please like, share, follow, rate the show as well. Retweet the show. Get this out there as to many people as possible. And hope you saw and enjoyed. I had a thread that I tweeted a couple days after the new year, the top 15 moments of Huskies and the Pros that covered NFL, NBA, MLB, WNBA, NHL. So really just a lot of great moments. I mean, Diane Taurasi scoring 10,000 career points. Loyal listener and Twitter follower, Kyle Berry was at that game when DT hit 10,000 career points. An incredible game that was. Kemba Walker versus Shabazz Napier in the EuroLeague. That was insane just that they were on the court at the same time. Nafisa Collier having just a breakout season, her best year of her career thus far. All of our players getting drafted, like just so much. So the thread is going to be a little bit buried underneath, but I believe I tweeted on January 3rd. I believe that was the date, maybe 2nd or 3rd around there. So if you want to go see all those moments, they're right there for you. But for today's show, it's been a couple weeks, so we're going to go a little farther back. But Adama Sanogo made his NBA debut and then also scored his first career points and then some since we last talked. Andre Drummond, also same thing, really making the most of his opportunity, his recent opportunity with the Chicago Bulls. James Bucknight, still looking for a chance to play meaningful basketball with the Hornets. Andre Jackson seems to be untouchable by the Bucks, and he might get some really good playing time on Monday. Find out why in a little bit. But we're going to start with Jordan Hawkins. Earlier today, usually when I kind of prep for these shows, I kind of just put things together on Sunday, kind of throughout the day on Sunday. I use my tweets and stuff that I have used in the past, and I just kind of know like what I'm going to talk about. Jordan Hawkins was topic number 4 earlier today, but since the Pelicans played, their game just finished up about an hour ago or so, they played against the Kings. The Pelicans were shooting on all cylinders in this one. They won the game 133-130. And before the game, we found out that Zion Williamson and Jose Alvarado were not going to be playing this game. So immediately we knew there was a chance that Hawkins was going to get more minutes. And Pelicans head coach Willie Green before the game said Hawkins is going to get some run. And he got 24 minutes. Hawkins did. He scored 12 points, 5 of 9 from the field, 1 for 5 from 3. three rebounds, two assists. Normally, like right now, I'm just looking at the minutes from Jordan Hawkins. 24 minutes is great. It's his most since December 2nd. So a little over a month ago now, he's played a bunch of single digit games. He's getting the last couple minutes and doing what he can in those few minutes. But since this game was such a blowout, I mean, the Pelicans were up by as many as 40, maybe even a little bit more than that at some point. So it's great that he played. I'm not saying it's a bad thing that he played 24 minutes. Just wish it was a little more meaningful, 24 minutes. This game was never, ever close. The Pelicans blew him out starting the first quarter. But he had a couple mid-range pull-up jumpers that were nice. He drilled a three-pointer. He had a nice Euro step with a layup, really showing, you know, that he's more than a three-point shooter. You know, today, 1 for 5 from three. But in the last couple games, he's been playing garbage time minutes. Their previous game before tonight on January 5th, in 6 minutes, he scored 13 points, 4 for 7 from the field, 3 for 3 from behind the arc, 2 for 2 from the line. He literally played 6 minutes and was in the tying leading scorer for the Pelicans. Zion also had 13 and however many minutes, way more than six. And Hawkins scored 13 points in 6 minutes. Obviously, that's something that he can do. Coming off the bench for an NBA team, he can be a microwave. He can be a spark plug off the bench. Saw him do it as a starter as well, where he can just score in bunches. And 8 of these 13 points came in the final 70 seconds of the game. Ripped a couple threes, got to the line, made a couple free throws. I mean, he was on a heater in those couple minutes. It's been a whirlwind. Again, it's been a couple of weeks since we've had a podcast for Hawkins the last couple of weeks, because he was sent down to the G League, which was an initial shock. And it still is shocking. It's just how far he has fallen out of the rotation, given how much time he's playing. And remember, folks, the Pelicans had a ton of injuries to start this season, a ton of injuries. Larry Nance was out. Trey Murphy was out. Jose Alvarado was out. Najee Marshall was out. Four key players, four bench guys were all out to start the season. That's why Hawkins had this huge opportunity. He made the most of it. He played extremely well. Should he be playing more? Absolutely. But just pointing that out, that there were injuries to start the year, which is why Hawkins even got that opportunity in the first place. But at the time of his demotion to the G League, and he was only there for one game. He's back up. But the funniest thing, I was just going through all these, you know, pro Hawkins stats when he got sent down to the G League. The biggest one, and honestly, that's just funny, is that he led the Pelicans in three-pointers when he got sent down to the G League. He led them with 59 at the time. Now, obviously, he's not, because he doesn't play as much and whatnot. But CJ McConnell was right behind him with 57. Just pretty funny. You know, part of that, Trey Murphy, he was their one of their better three-point shooters last season. He missed the first 15 games. Now he'll come up and he'll start making – he's shooting 40.5% from three, so he's going to get up there. But it was just really, really funny that their best three-point shooter, stats-wise, but, you know, down to the G League. He was down with Birmingham Squadron for just one game. He scored 32 points. And you would think that would be his first 30-point game of the season. But no, he scored a career-high 31 against the defending NBA champions, Denver Nuggets, literally less than 2 months from that G League game. This is really the first year and a half, where I'm really starting to follow the NBA. I get that most of our better players right now are younger. They got to prove themselves. But man, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, he's doing everything you want offensively in a league where you have to succeed with 3-point shooters. And the Pelicans, they needed shooting at the draft, so they drafted Jordan Hawkins. I still believe, and people sometimes on Twitter, I think, disagree with me on say this, but I think Jordan Hawkins has a long future with the New Orleans Pelicans. Right now, they have a lot of depth. Mention all those players that came back from injury. Najee Marshall, his contract is gone. It expires after the season, so I think he's gone. Hawkins takes those minutes. Herb Jones, excellent defender, while also scoring around 13 points a game. Trey Murphy, he's kind of the same player. Him and Hawkins are very similar. which isn't a bad thing, because when you have two lethal three-point shooters along with CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram as well, you know, that's the type of scoring you need to build a legit NBA contending team. It's very crowded. Jose Alvarado, another guard, provides something a little different. He'll hit the three, but like his biggest thing is to be kind of that true point guard, a facilitator, you know, rough up on defense as well. You know, he stripped LeBron a couple games ago, going up for a layup. Like he's a really, really good defender. So he certainly has value to this team. Dyson Daniels in the game that I watched tonight against the Kings, he played pretty well. You know, first round pick a couple of years ago. So part of this issue is that they do have young guys. Herb Jones is young, Trey Murphy, and Dyson Daniels, Hawkins. They've all gotten drafts in the last 2 years. So they're just trying to see what they really have. And I know we want results now, but I do believe that Hawkins has a future with the Pelicans. He certainly has a long NBA future. So I don't like the fact that, you know, they're not going to trade him. They know that he's a legit three-point shooter. They know that he's a future all-star. I don't think they trade him anytime soon. So I think really for him at this point to get consistent minutes might come in year two, but we'll see. Only time will tell. But Jordan Hawkins, Sunday night, 12 points on 5-of-9 shooting, made a nice couple of plays to get those 12 points in a blowout win over the Kings for the Pelicans, who played really well without Zion. Also good to know. Adama Sanogo, he made his NBA debut back on December 28th against the Pacers. He played the last, I think it was like 20, 25 seconds when he checked in for the Bulls, who lost by 16. And obviously didn't do anything in those. He just kind of dribbled the clock out. But can we just take a moment and just appreciate that not only did the Huskies win a national championship in 2023, but our three best players, Hawkins, Andre, and Sanogo, all got NBA minutes, albeit Sanogo literally played 20 seconds, but still it counts. It's within the same calendar year, but that's pretty cool. That's what this Husky program is about, is winning national championships, competing well, and hopefully this year winning the Big East regular season and or Big East conference tournament, and getting players to the NBA and succeeding in the NBA. I think all three of our guys have done just that. Obviously, the success is way differently between Hawkins versus Andre versus Sanogo. But Sanogo, for what he's done in the G League, just absolutely obliterating and dominating the G League, that's a win. But Adama's killing it. He's averaging 18 and 10 in the G League, and it just piles up the double-doubles, literally averaging one. I mean, he's just playing extremely, extremely well. And it was awesome to see when he actually did get to play some minutes. I tweeted out there was, I don't know, fourth quarter or whatever. This was actually on the way back from the DePaul game when he got his first career points and went off. I mean, he scored 8 points, grabbed 6 rebounds in just 9 minutes to really make his – I mean, that was kind of his NBA debut, right? I mean, that's the first time he got real minutes. And his first career bucket was off an and-one. He caught the pass on the low block, made the layup, count the basket and the foul, of course made the free throw. It was awesome to see. He had a tip-in where he caught off a miss from another Bulls player and tipped it back as he was falling down. You talk about a player that has worked his butt off to get to where he is. Cheers to Adama Sanogo. Really awesome to see him get that opportunity. And partly why he got this opportunity was because Nikola Vucevic, he was out with a rib injury. Zach LaVine has already been out for over a month with a foot injury. Torrey Craig, he got injured back in mid-December and is out 4 to 6 weeks with a heel injury. So the Bulls, just like Hawkins at the beginning of the year, here Sanogo gets an opportunity due to injuries. And unfortunately, now that Vucevic and LaVine are back, he's back in the G League, but that's why he got called up and that's why he got sent down. So I'm just here to tell you that's why there's that movement. Craig obviously won't be back for a little bit, being out 4 to 6 weeks, but it's obviously very good that Sanogo played so well He checked in for a third game at the Garden on January 3rd, just the day after he scored those 8 points. He played a minute. You know, nothing happened. Garbage time against the Knicks. But congrats to Sanogo. And it's also worth mentioning, because I've mentioned in previous pods that it's really Sanogo, it's Dale and Terry, and it's Julian Phillips that are the three players that are going back and forth between Windy City and the Bulls. Dale and Terry, who's the Bulls' 2022 first-round pick, 18th overall, out of Arizona. He got his first career start on Friday against the Hornets. All three of those guys have had movement. They obviously value Terry, as they should, first-round pick. And he scored 8 points, 4 assists, and 21 minutes in his first career start. So figured that was just worth telling you, because it's those are the things that you that like if you really want to know, those are the things you got to follow and pay attention to. And, you know, Dale and Terry getting a start, Adama back in the G League. That's just the reality of the situation. Those injuries also meant more playing time for Andre Drummond. And boy, did he take advantage of the opportunity. Opportunities is the word of the podcast. Go make the most of all your opportunities out there, folks. In the 5 games that he started when Nikola Vucevic was out, he averaged 14 points a game, 19.4 rebounds, and he averaged 29.6 minutes in those games. He had 23 points and 25 rebounds in his first start with the Bulls. Listen, I'm not saying that he's necessarily – I mean, I guess if he rebounds like this, he could be an all-star. Obviously, 14 and 19 would be also numbers. It's a small sample size. But I've been saying this, man. He still has got it, man. When he got traded from the Sixers to the Nets a couple years ago, and, you know, when it was Durant and Harden and all that, he averaged a double-double. He averaged 11 and 10 in the 20-plus games he started with the Nets. It was very cool to see him play so well. Again, as I mentioned with Sanogo, Vucevic and Levine, they returned to the lineup this past Friday. Vucevic was on a minutes restriction, apparently. He played 25 minutes. Drummond, I mentioned he averaged nearly 30 minutes a game in those 5 starts. He played 21. He still started, but he played 21 on Friday. So, unfortunately, I think those minutes are going to keep declining. Before that, he was averaging around 12, 13 minutes a game. So, I mean, maybe it boosts up a little bit, but I mean, just really, really cool. I mean, in his first 3 starts, he grabbed 63 rebounds, which was the most rebounds in that span since Dennis Rodman did that in 1998. And that was per the Bulls broadcast. Now, I'm not sure if they mean in franchise history or NBA history. Just a little caveat there. I literally kind of took this from a screenshot from the broadcast. It did not mention NBA history or Bulls history. But regardless, to be in the same category as Dennis Rodman with rebounds, you're in good company. But again, with Vucevic, with Levine coming back, don't be surprised if his number, if his minutes get cut down a little bit. They already have in that first game, but we'll see. Again, tonight they're going to be playing Charlotte, where they take on the Hornets. So we'll see what Drummond's minutes look like. And speaking of Charlotte, as of today, the day of the podcast being released here on January 8th, the trade deadline is 1 month away. It's on February 8th, Thursday, February 8th. I think more now than ever, James Bouknight needs to get out of Charlotte. He's just simply rotting away on the Hornets bench. They do not know what to do with him. I guess they do. They know not to play him. And it's – listen, Bouknight – I keep saying this to everybody, he dug himself a hole in Charlotte. It's on both sides. You know, I don't know what's going on in practice. I don't know exactly in that sense. But from the production that he has been given on the court, he's averaging 4.4 points in just 5.6 minutes. Per 40, he's averaging 31.4 points a game. Obviously, that's a bit overboard. But you get my point. He's an instant bucket. He's getting it done. And I know it's garbage time. And I know it's against, you know, the third strings of the other team. And it could be a 50-point game when he's in, because that literally what's happened when they like lost to the Sixers before the new year. They lost by like 50 or something like that. It was the worst loss in franchise history for the Hornets. But he's 8 for 15 from the field, 6 for 11 from 3. He had a really nice take in transition against the Lakers in his couple games ago. And this past Friday against the Bulls, now looking on the other side of Sonogo and Drummond here, the Bulls were up by 15-20. I mean, they were in hand of the game for most of this game. And there were 12 healthy Hornets players dressed for this game. 11 of them played. James Bouknight was the only one that did not play. So, I don't know. Like, it's just frustrating. I want to see him play so bad. He's just so good offensively. And I think if he really gets an opportunity to be in a good system, to be with a good coaching staff, he can score the basketball. He's been able to do that for I'm sort of running out of things to say with Bouknight, just the frustration. It doesn't help that, you know, I mentioned the trade deadline. It doesn't help that the Hornets are terrible, obviously. They're 8-25 entering Monday, which is six games back from the 10 seed in the East. Who knows? I did see a tweet where they might trade for Pascal Siakam. Throw him in the deal. Send him to Toronto. Literally any other team would be awesome. It's just one of those things where I'd like to think, because he's going to be free agent after the season. They didn't pick up his options, player option for next year, the Hornets, obviously. So he's going to be a free agent. And if a team trades for him, then there's a good chance, a possibility that they see something in him. And I do think some teams will see something in Bouknight in the offseason. But it's going to be scary, man, if he's just kind of out in the open market as a free agent. You don't know what's going to happen. And here, if he gets traded to whatever team before the deadline, he gets a couple months to show his skills. So, I mean, he'll be a free agent regardless, but it'll be a new organization. Whether if he gets that opportunity in the G League or in the pros, whatever. Now more than ever, the clock is ticking, Husky fans. 1 month from today, the NBA trade deadline. And I've tried looking like on NBA trade machines on ESPN, and he has no value. Like, who am I going to peg him against? You know, I got to do like a massive deal. But like, so hopefully any trade with the Hornets involves James Bouknight. It would make sense for them to get rid of him, but really hope that for him. And last but not least, Andre Jackson Jr. Read on Twitter today, Jake Weinbach, he covers the Bucks. He tweeted earlier Sunday morning. And from his understanding, he does not see the Bucks trading Andre or his fellow rookie teammate Marjon Beauchamp. You know, with trade talks going to be picking up over the next month, so he does not believe that either of those rookies will be traded, which is obviously a good thing because they see value in Andre and he has played well for them. He does all the little things. He's shooting better than probably expected, even from the Bucks standpoint, from threes. Everything, he's like right around 40-45% from three now. Weinbach did further note that the Bucks are in the market for a defensive-minded wing. Now, that's not the best thing in terms of Andre Jackson minutes, because if they were to acquire that wing, Andre's minutes might go down. And the news kind of gets worse because a couple of Bucks Twitter accounts are speculating that Jay Crowder might return soon. Crowder has not played yet this season. He had surgery to repair a left adductor and abdominal tear before the season. He was cleared for all on-court activity. And apparently today, Sunday, again, day recording, he was scheduled to play a 5-on-5 game. And he might return as soon as this week. So we'll see. I mean, between Crowder, between possibly trading for a defensive minor wing, Andre only averages 9.8 minutes per game. Don't know what that means. Just giving you the heads up that if they get other pieces, and hey, look, Giannis put the pressure on him on Saturday night, because after their loss to the Rockets in his postgame presser, he literally said, everybody has to get better. Everybody. It starts with the equipment manager. He has to wash our clothes better. So when Giannis is calling for change, something's obviously going to happen. The Bucks are 25-11. They're 3.5 out of the one seed for the East. Obviously, this Bucks team has NBA Finals aspirations every single year, NBA championship, I should say, every single year. Giannis putting the pressure on his teammates. But there is some positivity in the short term for Andre, as tonight when the Bucks take on the Jazz, the Bucks have already announced that both Damian Lillard and Cameron Payne are not going to be playing. Both of those players are out. So with that, Andre should see more minutes. He had 12 minutes the other night against the Rockets, and he started the second half. So Adrian Griffin, head coach Adrian Griffin, obviously shows some trust there. But no, you know, two guards. Cameron Payne's one of the first guys off the bench, normally before Jackson. Without those two, maybe we'll see point guard Andre come back, make a return, and be the guy to facilitate the offense. Man, that was so much fun to watch. When Hurley and staff, and they figured that out, and it clicked with Andre, just watching him run point guard for UConn was so fun. So maybe that'll be happening again tonight against the Jazz. We'll see. But regardless, it's probably going to be an uptick in minutes for Andre. Maybe even start. Who knows? It's been a while since he started, but we'll see what happens. That's going to do it for this week's show. As always, thank you for listening. Really appreciate you staying here with me. Please, if you have any feedback on the show, let me know. I should really start saying this at the beginning of the show, the feedback part, because I really am interested in what people think, whether you want to shout that out, you know, just in the replies here or DM me, whatever. I promise you I'm a nice guy. I won't bite. Like, just let me know how you like this format of the show. You know, anything that I can change, just please let me know. Really do appreciate it. But as for now, let's have a great week and go Huskies.